Yeah, that was a great song. Aren't you glad he grew the tree?
Amen.
Amen. We'll be in Jeremiah chapter number 18. I'm not as tall as Brother Gibson. I got to move that mic down a little bit. But we'll be in Jeremiah chapter number 18. I don't know why, but I always get nervous when I preach, which that's a good thing, I guess. But I'm really nervous tonight, so bear with me. It should be a short message. Woo. I say that, but I...
Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Should be a short message, but I do have 10 points, and so, but they're quick points, so that'd be good. But I heard a preacher preach on this thought a couple weeks ago, and I never really heard or thought about it this way before, and it really got me thinking, and so I stole his message a little bit and added some stuff to it, and went from there. So if it's a good message, you can thank Brother Jeremy Taylor, I believe it was his name that preached that. But anyway, Jeremiah chapter number 18. We're gonna read a few different verses here, but we'll start in verse number 1. It says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Now therefore go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now, everyone, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And we'll stop reading right there. But we all heard the analogy of the potter of the clay. We've all heard it. We've heard it in songs. We've heard preachers reference it and everything. But I just never have thought about it the way this preacher described it. And so I thought it was pretty neat. But first, let's go ahead and pray. Dear my Father, Lord, thank you so much for the day you've given us. Thank you for the good message we heard this morning. God, please give me the words to say tonight. Help me say everything you want me to and nothing that I shouldn't. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. But he got to talking, and he said, you know, so we all look at the potter and the clay, and we think of the potter molding it, but we fail to realize how that he got the clay to begin with, and how the potter prepares the clay. And he did a little bit of studying it through it and talked about it a little bit. I thought it was really neat. And so I developed a little bit of a message on how the potter gets the clay. And so how it works is the potter goes, and he obviously the clay starts out in the earth. And he digs up the clay, and he takes it in his hands. And when he gets that clay, he takes it to a table, and he begins to beat the imperfections out of it. And he beats the imperfections out of it, and that may take a while. And as soon as he does that, he gets it and he puts it in the pot. And when he puts it in the pot, he pours water over the clay. And once he pours the water in the clay, he waits for the clay to soak up that water. It may be instantly. It may take a while. It's up to the clay, really. But once the clay soaks up that water, then he can take that, then he can take that clay and put it in the molding station, if you will. And he begins to spin the wheel and mold it. And then that's when he begins to mold it. And once he molds it, you know, there's imperfections. If there's didn't soak up enough water, then they leave a crack and he has to start over. Maybe put it back in the pot, soak up some more water. Or if he just thinks, it's not quite like I want it, then he starts over, pours more water on it, and gets it and begins to mold it. And once he gets the molding done, then that's when he can, you know, cook it or so to speak, or let it harden and everything. And then that's when it gets done. But I got to thinking about that, and I thought, you know, it's really interesting. We all start out just nothing but dirt. That's all we start out, nothing just but in the earth. And once we get saved, that's when we become in the potter's hand. Now, the potter gets us, and he finds us, and we submit to the potter, and he digs us up out of nothing, And that's when we get in the potter's hand, right when we get saved. And a lot of people, you'll go out and witness to them. You go door to door. I don't know. I know you guys done a lot of door knocking this year. You go door to door and you always get those people. Yeah, I'm saved. I'm like, great. What church you go to? I don't need church. I don't need it. And so I don't know about you, but when I got saved, I didn't just instantly know everything about the Bible. I know I needed to get into church, and when people get saved, they need to get into church to get their doctrine straight and to get all the imperfections out. So right there, we know they're saved. Hey, that's great, but they're in the potter's hand. That's all, excellent, right. But that's all they are. It's just in the potter's hand. They're still a clump of dirt, pretty much. Yeah, the potter has them. Potter's not going to let them go. But we need to go to the next step, and when we go to that table. And God begins to beat the imperfections out of us. That's us going to church. You say, well, I've went to church before, but man, I have bad experiences there sometimes. Maybe the preacher preached on something, man, that was offensive to me. I didn't agree with what he said. That's just God beating the imperfections out of you. He's preaching the Bible. As long as he's preaching the Bible, then if it offends you or not, that's just God saying, hey, you don't need that in your life. You don't need that. All right? I preached that in jail the other day. I go to the jail every Sunday and preach to the jailmates there. And I kind of brought up this thought, and they're just like, I never thought about it that way. I just figured to have bad experience, and I'm not going back. And I was like, no, you need to stay. That's God showing you. You don't need that in your life, you know. And then some of them are like, well, I can't get rid of that smoking. I can't get rid of any of that. And God's like, obviously, that's something you don't need in your life. He was trying to get that out of you. He's trying to correct you in that area. He's trying to beat that imperfections out. And once you go to the table, he puts us in the pot. Okay? And we're in that pot right there. This is where a lot of us stay because we don't want to get out of the pot. And you say, we hear all the talk about the molding and everything, but when God is pouring the water or the Holy Spirit on us, we fail to soak it up. Why? How do we fail to soak it up? It's because we don't read our Bible. We don't pray. We don't pray like we need to. I mean, every single person in this building can probably testify we don't pray like we need to. There's days we go by and we're like, eh. You know, I heard a preacher say this: if you don't get up in the morning first thing and pray, you know, it doesn't matter if you get up at 3 a.m. or 9 a.m. in the morning. But if you don't pray first thing in the morning, then you pretty much might as well just be telling God, I don't need you today. I don't need you today. I got this. Don't worry about it. And I got to think about that. And that's convicting because there's a lot of times I'll get up and I'll get busy. You know, I work a full-time job and go to school. And I try to take care of, my family now and everything. But it's work. And sometimes I get up and I don't even think about praying. I'll just be honest with you. A lot of times I do my Bible reading and praying in the afternoon. Sometimes I have an hour or two before I go to work and she's at work and I'm at the house by myself, and that's when I do a lot of it. But man, we need God right in the morning. If I wait till the afternoon, then until I get to the afternoon, I'm telling God, I don't need you till this afternoon. Just wait. All right? And maybe that's why I get such bad grades in school. I don't know. But I'm just kidding. But anyway, we need to realize we need to soak up that Holy Spirit in the morning. I heard another preacher say this. He said, when I started out, he said, I was very prideful. He said, I was a very prideful preacher. I thought, you know, everybody's going to get saved because I'm preaching this message. And, you know, I'm the best preacher there is. And so everybody's going to get saved just because I preach this message. But when he saw that there was no results, he began to wonder. He's like, man, am I doing something wrong? And he finally called Don Green, if you know who Don Green is. He's a great man of God. And he's a guy that he's really strict and everything. And he's just a fun to listen to preach. Anyway, he called him and said, am I doing something wrong? And he said, well, you know I love you, but you're too full of pride. I said, if you get that pride out of your life, maybe God will work something in you. So you're too full of self and not the Spirit. And he said, well, how do I soak up the Spirit? And he said, you get up and you pray, read your Bible, fill yourself with the Spirit then, and you go in the afternoon, and try to keep yourself filled with the Holy Spirit as much as you can. And when you go to bed, try to get yourself filled with the Holy Spirit again. And when you wake up, it's the same process. He said, but if you slip on that and you don't fill yourself with the Spirit, then that's when the flesh is going to tempt you and you're going to fall every time because you don't have the Spirit's leading. He said, the flesh is not something that you win the battle over as soon as you get saved. It's not, I won this battle, I'm going to go over here. Maybe he might tempt me in a couple weeks or a couple months, but other than that, I got this taken care of for a little bit because I prayed today. I prayed today, so I got taken care of for the next couple months. No, it's a daily battle. He said, once I realized that, then I realized that even Don Green has to struggle with the flesh on a daily basis. Even Tim Gibson has to struggle with the flesh on a daily basis. Then that means I definitely I struggle with that on a daily basis, and I need God daily. If that means for you, if the flesh is so bad for you to tempt, if that means you need to read your Bible and pray on three separate occasions a day, then do that. Whatever it takes to win over the flesh, you need to make that a priority. Back when in 2016, I worked at a factory job in Litchfield, Illinois, or actually it was Farmersville, Illinois. You know where that's at. I worked there. It was a place called Tranor, and everybody there, it was their goal to try to hear me cuss, try to get me to do something wrong because they knew I was a preacher. And, you know, working in the world, especially as a preacher, that's all anybody wants to get you to do. And I'm sure Brother Nathan probably can attest to this. But at lunchtime, I used my lunchtime. I would eat, of course, but I would read my Bible. I'd take my Bible there and read it then because I couldn't handle it. I'd get mad sometimes. I'm like, I can't get mad at them, even though they're doing wrong and I'm right. I can't get mad at them because that would just ruin it right there. And so I had to read my Bible even at lunchtime. Whatever it takes to not get in the flesh, then you need to take that. But that's where we're at. Okay, we're not even to the molding station yet, so to speak. We hear people talk about, well, God's molding you and he's making you. Yes, he is. But unless you fill yourself with that water, that Holy Spirit, he's not even got to that point yet. And you say, well, I had a bad experience at a church. I got offended here. Well, God will show you why he put you in that situation as soon as he gets you in the molding station. So just submit and submit to the Spirit and fill yourself with the Spirit. When you get there, then he'll start to realize why God put you there. But a lot of us just don't want that. We just live our own life. Yeah, we'll go to church, but we're just going to be church members. That's it. All right? And listen, there's nothing wrong with being a church member. That's nothing wrong with it at all. I love the fact that all of you all are here today. But if all you do every week is just come to the church and sit and listen to a message or go home and not do anything else for the Lord, then there's something missing, okay? You need to make sure you're getting plugged in. I don't care if it's coming up here and sweeping just this little section right here every week for Brother Gibson. That's something you're doing for the church. You're plugging in. You're doing something. But you need to make sure you're doing something. I guarantee you there's something. Brother Gibson talked this morning about how busy he is. There's something you can help him out with. So make sure you're helping him out. You're getting plugged in. Be more than just an average Christian, okay? When I was a teenager, I always listened to every message on the next mile Christianity or the next level Christianity. Don't just be average, be above average. And that was what I wanted to be. I don't want to just be somebody, you know, I go to work and even people at work don't even realize I'm a Christian and stuff like that. I didn't want that to be me. I did not. I wanted it to be where I could be a witness to somebody just even by how I lived. I wanted to be an example to somebody. If I could reach somebody with just trying to do the best I could, I guess, then that was a win, okay? I didn't want to just be average. I wanted to be above average. I think that's the goal of everybody here, I'd say, is everybody wants to be above average. And so we don't like the work that gets put into it. And I've heard the old saying is people say, I want to be a farmer. And they'll say, no, you don't. Well, yeah, I do. He's like, no, you just want maybe the paycheck that the farmer gets sometimes or that, but you don't want to get up at 4 a.m. to milk the cows. You don't want to get up at that time to do that. You don't want to put the work. You just want the money from it. And they're like, yeah, I guess you're right. And that's kind of where we are sometimes is we want God's power. We want God's Spirit. We want the power of God, and we want that next level Christianity, but yet we don't want to put the work that goes into it. All right? Especially now, Brother Gibson's message this morning, you guys are getting to a point to where we're going to have to start working really hard. You guys are going to have to start getting that power from God to start building this church and start getting the money for it, the funds for it, and the people. Think about all those people you could reach. Was it Centralia? All those people you can reach there if you just put in just a little work. If you just put in a little work, God will bless you. But I dare to say some of y'all, I won't point anybody out, but some of y'all probably won't do nothing. You'll just sit back and you'll want to hear about it. How's it going down there? Well, if you'd come, maybe you'd find out. But anyway, I guarantee you. I'm not trying to be mean, but that's just how, I know that's how I was. That's how I was, and sometimes that's how I still am. And that's just how the flesh works. And so make sure you guys are plugging in and working. Do something for God. then we get to the pot, to the Holy Spirit, then we get to from the water to the molding station. Once we get to that molding station, God begins to mold us. And this is a part where some of us are too. We're in the molding station, and then God sees something. Maybe he sees a crack in us. We didn't fill up enough with the Holy Spirit, so he has to start over. Smashes us, puts us back in that pot, gets us back out, and starts to mold us back again. That's where we kind of go through trials and stuff like that. God molds us, and he starts to lead us, and he molds us right there. And he said, oh yeah, I remember. That's why you had me go through this. And now I can help this person. That's why maybe I struggled with this when I was younger. Now I can help this other person that's struggling with this. Or maybe, you know, you start to see that, and God starts to lead you in directions that you can go. And you say, okay, God, you want me to go there? I'll go there. And you submit. And that's where some of us are. And then we go from the molding station to the finished product. All right? This is where a lot of us will maybe stay. And that's good. We go to the finished product. God says, okay. You're done. You're exactly where I want you to be. You're exactly what I wanted you to be. And he puts us on the shelf. Like Brother Nathan was talking about today, this morning, we were talking a little bit about it. He said he puts us on the shelf, and he has that big high price on there. And you go into a potter's store. I don't know what you'd call it. You go in there, and it has all that pottery and everything. You see the ones that he likes the best, they're going to be labeled as the highest price. Now, you're going in there and you're man, that's really good. That looks great. I'm sure I could use it, but man, it's $2,000. I don't have that kind of money. Think about this. What would God, if you're a finished product tonight, what would God label you as? How much would you be worth to God? All right? I dare to say I probably won't even be worth 2 cents. All right? Man, I fail God so many times. And so many times I get in the flesh and I just don't want to do anything. I don't want to put in the work when it comes to stuff and everything. And if God finished the product right now, I would hate to see what God put me as. I get up there and I'll just be this moldy little lumpy little, it's supposed to be a plate. Maybe it looks like a bowl. I don't know. That's just not right. But God's like, you know what? I'm done with him. But thank God he doesn't throw the clay away. All right, he just smashes us and starts over again. And thinking, okay, surely he'll submit this time and he'll come out better than he was just a second ago. And then we get there, but sometimes he gets done with us and he don't even put us on the shelf to sell. He just throws us in a pile maybe, and that's it. He said, that's not even worth anything. That's not even worth my time anymore. And I would hate to be in that situation. But anyway, when we go from the finished product to the shelf for the highest price, then we go to the highest price to the broken. And this is a part I want to show you here in Jeremiah chapter number 19. We see here that Jeremiah was told of by God to go into the potter's house, and he said, "I want to show you something." In my own words, this is what God's saying. He said, "Go there. I want to show you something." All right, and so he goes there, and he sees the potter working and molding the clay, and then. We saw where it said that it got marred a little bit in his hand, so he made it again. Well, as it would seem good to the potter, he just made it again. Excuse me. And he goes in there and he says that's how Israel is. That's how you are right now. He said, "Can I not be like this potter? You're in my hands, and I'm molding you. I'm making you." And he goes there and this is a. Pretty, I never even thought about this. But in Jeremiah 19, verse number 1, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, go and get the potter's earthen bottle." And if you know what an earthen bottle is, that is the finished product. That is the thing that's done. You can't bend it anymore. You can't, it's done. It's a finished product. So go and get a potter's earthen bottle and take it to the ancients of the people and of the ancients of the priest, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entry of the east gate, proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee." And you skip down to verse number 10. It says, "Then shalt thou break the bottle in the sight of the men that go with thee, and shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people in this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again, and they shall bury them into the Tophet till there be no place to bury. Thus will I do unto this place, thus saith the Lord, and the inhabitants thereof, and even make this city as Tophet." And so we see here God says, go into these people and break, take that earthen bottle and break it. And I said, I'm going to do that to you. And I think about the people. You can think about people who have been broken, okay? Maybe God has us as a finished product, and he looks and he says, you know what? There's some people over there that really need help. They're going through some things. I bet you this person can help them, but before I do that, I got to break them. And he takes that finished product, and he breaks it. And that's where tragedy hits. I mean, I can think of the guy by the name of John Wilkerson, if you guys know who that is. He's the pastor of Hammond, Indiana, First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana, pastor of thousands of people. And if I remember correctly, before he became pastor there, he had an 18-year-old son that was riding in the car with his friends. He was a tall guy. And he was riding in the car with his friends. It was a Jeep, and it lost control, and it hit the side of the road and just did a slow rollover. And that was it, just a slow rollover. And people are like, man, is everybody okay? Everybody okay? And they're looking around. And they see in the back where his son was sitting, and he was so tall that just that slow rollover, it crushed his head and killed him instantly. And you think, man, how can somebody go through that? How could God do that to somebody? That guy was serving the Lord, and he did that to that person. And I guarantee you, Brother Wilkerson at that point was broken. His wife, I guarantee you, was broken. But now, God has led them to this church who's pastor of thousands of people. And I mean, this church is really well known. You get on the internet and find all kinds of stuff from him. And I guarantee you, he has been able to help more people through that tragedy than he would have if that tragedy wouldn't have happened. And as soon as he gets to heaven, he sees all the people that are there in heaven because of his son's tragedy, it'll be worth it in the end. All right? But God had to break him before he was able to help these people. And sometimes we get to that place. I mean, I don't necessarily wish that on anybody. I hope and pray that there's not a big tragedy, especially when I start having kids. I could not imagine. I mean, but whatever God's will is, then his will be done. But there's people out there that have had tragedies like that. And you say, how could God do that? How could God allow it? You think of these people who just lost, I forget their names now. My mind's slipping. But they lost all their kids in this house fire a few months ago. If you remember that story, it's been on Facebook. Fire happened at night, and they got out, tried to save all their kids, but their kids were really young, and they weren't able to save them all. And the two youngest died on that night, and the other one lived a couple weeks after and then died. And they lost all their kids. And you think, man, how could God do that? And some people get mad at God. You know, they're like, God, why would you do that? And they just give up. And they give up, and they move on. And they're, I'm mad at God now. I'm bitter with God. You've met people like that probably. You know, God took my kid from me. I'm not serving him no more. But God breaks them, and if we just submit and trust God with whatever his will is, then maybe down the road, it could be a year down the road, it could be a week down the road, it could be several years down the road, but God allows you to help somebody through the tragedy that has happened. And God breaks you, but he allows you to help this person. And I think of Job. This preacher brought this out, and I never thought about it. Job chapter number 2, I'm going to flip there, I'll read you the verse. Job chapter number 2. You don't have to turn there if you don't want to. Verse number 8, after Job lost all of his family, all of his cattle, all of his livestock, everything, his house, he lost all of his health, and you're thinking, man, what more can I lose? And the only relief that he got, you remember verse number 8, it says, and he took a potsherd, he had all those boils on his arm, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with, and he sat down among the ashes. And that's all he took. A potsherd is a broken piece of pottery. He took that broken piece of pottery, and that's the only relief he got was that stuff. For whatever reason, it just helped him. That broken piece of pottery, he began to scrape himself, and that's the only relief he got. And you say, well, that may be a coincidence. It's not a coincidence. God put that there for a reason. And he may break you, even if it's just help one person. That's worth it to God. And once you get to heaven, you'll see that it's worth it. But I guarantee you, if he breaks you, he's going to help you. You're going to help more than that, just that. When you get to heaven, you see all the people, like I said, you see all the people that have gotten to heaven or has been affected by a tragedy that has happened, by you being broken. It's going to be worth it all in the end. But you have to trust God. It's not going to be worth it all if you get broken and then you just don't trust God at all. You don't trust God, you give up on God, and you go the wrong way. I'm doing my own thing now. This whole Christianity thing didn't work out. If you do that, then it's not going to be worth it. And you're going to live a bitter, sad, and just miserable life. But if you just trust God through the tragedy, He'll bring you through it. And He may even build you back, okay? Brother John Wilkerson, maybe he's built back and still a finished product now, but you can still see the cracks. You still see the cracks where he's broken. I guarantee you, I don't know his son's name, but if you bring up his son or whatever, I guarantee you there's that wincing there. Man, I miss him. Ah, man. You know, I think about that, and there you can still see the cracks. But now he's been able to help these people, and those are the things that once you get built back, that you God, if God puts you back on that shelf for the highest price, man, it's not even for sale. That is so priceless. Because of this person did so many great things. This person, this piece of pottery maybe, did so many great things that it's priceless. I guarantee you, if you found, if you go wherever Job lived, and if you found that broken piece of pottery that he used to scrape himself, yeah, it'd probably be gross. But I guarantee you, that would sell for how many millions and billions of dollars if you could prove that it was the actual piece of pottery that it's talking about in the Bible. It's priceless. Why? Because they were used. It was used by God. It was. You know, it's made famous, and now you're priceless. You're even worth more than you could ever even imagine. But you have to trust God. And so you go to the broken, to the helping of others, and to the helping of others to the repairment. And this is the last part. Once you start trusting God, you can start being repaired. Like I said, you can still see the cracks. You can still see the cracks, but you start being repaired, and you can start, you have that sense of relief there. You have that sense of, okay, I've been used. I've been used of God, and now I can kind of sit back and relax. Brother John Wilkerson, he's living comfortably right now. I guarantee you, have a pastor in that much church, I guarantee it's stressful, but what coming with that comes fairly comfortable financially and stuff like that. Probably he's well known. He'd probably get meeting if you just, hey, I'm passing through the area. He could get meeting after meeting after meeting. Whatever he wants pretty much is right there. Why? Because God, he's trusted God, so God's working with him now. He's blessing him. You can pretty much do whatever he wants now. And he has the perfect job, as a preacher would say, probably. Perfect situation. But there's still those cracks. You still see that. He can still help people and everything, and it's just the repairment there. But how badly do you want to be used of God? Okay, every one of us is in a situation I just described. We're either still in the earth, not even saved. God's thought about us. He says, "Man, if he would just submit, I can dig him up." And we're maybe still be in the earth, not even saved yet, or maybe we're just got saved. I know there's been a lot of people that's got saved this year over the past couple years. A lot of people that just got saved. And you're in the potter's hand, but if you don't come to church every service, if you don't listen to all the messages, you may be come to church, but you don't listen to church. If you just kind of zone out, think about other things, think about what the score is on the game, or for me, who's winning the race, stuff like that, then you're not even paying attention to the message. If you're not paying attention to the message, you might as well not even be here. And God's trying to beat the imperfections out of you, trying to beat that imperfection out of you. You maybe still be there. Yes, you might have a bad experience or two. You may get offended at some points. That's just church. That's just life. You can't go. It's no church is perfect, and no good message is gonna go to where you know maybe I don't like that part. I don't want to do that. Talk about today having great faith. Man, I want great faith, but I don't want to put that work in. I don't want to do that. But God's trying to beat that imperfection out of you. You're in that situation. Or maybe where a lot of us are is in the pot still. God's just waiting for you to soak up the Spirit so he can use you. But he's not going to be able to use you until you soak up the Spirit. If you try to do it under your own power, then it's going to fail. He needs you to wait till you soak up the Spirit. So he's just waiting on you. He's just waiting. Those are situations too where you're thinking, man, I feel like God's not even with me no more. It's because he's waiting on you. Have you prayed? Have you read the Bible? Have you been in your Bible? Have you been in study with God yet? Does God just seem like he's absent-minded from you? Maybe that situation is you're in the pot. He's still waiting for you. He's just waiting for you to soak up the Spirit, just waiting. Maybe you're in the molding situation. God's starting to show you things about in the past, why he put you through whatever he did. Or maybe he's leading you into different directions. He's leading Brother Gibson to start a church. He's leading the church to start another church. He's molding there. He's starting to lead you in places. Or maybe you're the finished product right now. God says, you're right where I want you. You're right exactly where I want you. You are man, you look beautiful, so to speak. And he puts a good big high price on you. Or maybe you're in the situation too where he's still molding you and you have a crack or so, and so he has to start over. And you go in there, but we're all in that situation. Maybe you're in the situation where you're broken right now. There could be some broken people here, lost some really close family members in tragedy or whatever the case may be. You may be here in that situation. But God can still use you. Don't give up. And maybe you're in the repairment phase right now, maybe the repairment stage. But every single person here is in one of those situations. All right? And so we need to just trust God and go through it from there. I know this was maybe a little different message, and maybe a shorter message, but it's a message that I thought I never heard of before. Really, honestly, I've heard people preach on the Potter and the Clay, but it's never been a whole message on the Potter and the Clay. I've never heard it, and so I thought, man, this is really interesting. It's really cool to see how God literally is like the Potter, and we're the clay, and all we have to do is submit to Him. As soon as we submit to God, then everything will fall into place. All we have to do is trust Him. We have to go out on that great faith, and God will lead us wherever we want. I talked a little bit about David this morning in Sunday school, and I said there's a part in time where David was promised to be the next king of Israel. And so David knew, as long as Saul is king in Israel, I'm not going to die. He could literally, I said he could literally go, which would be dumb to do, but he could literally go in the middle of the hottest battle and just take a nap because God's going to protect him. He knows he's got the promise of God. I'm going to be the next king of Israel. And go out in that great faith. But as long as we just trust God, then everything will work out. Anyway, let's have our heads bowed, eyes closed. A piano player can come and begin to play on the piano. Where do you guys think you're at today in your Christian life? Are you saved? Are you still in the earth? Or are you just got dug up? You're saved, but man, you're in the potter's hand. God's not going to let you down. God's not going to let you down. But man... And you just keep fighting with Him. I don't even want to go to church. I want to stay home. I want to watch the game. I want to stay home. I want to do my own thing. Watch a movie. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to do whatever. But God still has you in His hand. He still wants you. He's trying to beat those imperfections out. Maybe you're in that stage. You can go ahead and begin playing. Maybe you're in that stage. Or maybe you're just in the pot. And that's just not soaking up the Spirit like you need to. Maybe you're in the molding station. Maybe you're finished project. Maybe you're broken. Whatever stage you are in your life, you just trust God. Have the faith that God will bring you through it.